Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fight.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith. Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange. With me, as always, some of my best friends since I was a little kid. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I got a Whirlpool from Night Shift Brewing, and I am doing really well this week. Thank you for asking.
Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing fine, Tommy. I'm drinking some Basil Hayden's. What are you drinking, Tommy? How are you doing?
I might be a little too drunk. My Irish neighbor brought me some stuff called, what's it called, Tommy?
Ardbeg?
Ardbeg. It's from the spy side of Ireland. He just flew in this morning, just handed me the bottle a couple hours ago, and it is like getting fucked in the mouth by a dick made of peat moss, but it is delicious.
Would you call that peat moss? Would you call that dick peaty?
It is very peaty. And Mikey, how you doing? And did you finally get a chance to get something to drink?
I am doing well. And yes, I have a glass of Eagle Rare bourbon from Buffalo Trace.
This is like fifth week in a row with the Eagle Rare. You're getting like
that's because I got a bottle of it.
wait, Tommy.
It's not like I buy shots of it.
Tommy, how do you know this is the fifth week in a row? Are you spying on my good friend Mikey?
I am.
Speaking of spying, that happens to be our thing of the week. We're going to be talking about spy organizations within Marvel, DC, and independent universes. And come on, that was a gorgeous segue. It's a
beautiful segue.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
As drunk as I am, that is a great segue. And I don't think we have to go too deep into what a spy organization is, but mostly a spy organization is a organization that tries to, in a clandestine manner, get information on other people. Say, Russia versus the Democrats, maybe. Right?
Sure.
I don't think maybe. Either Russia as a whole is or a spy the Democrats is a spy organization. But let's just move along.
Move along. Tom's drunk. So we're going to talk about different spy organizations as represented in comic books. Some of these might be a little loosey-goosey because I think some of them might be more thought of as science organizations, at least some of the ones I want to talk about because I think they're super cool. Mikey, give us one of your faves.
Well, that would be Checkmate in the DC Universe.
Drink.
God damn it. Everyone drink.
Yes, Checkmate. I chose it specifically for our listener, Diane, because Checkmate is the DC Comics version of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is Marvel's, which I'm sure somebody's going to be talking about. But Checkmate was first created in 1988 by Paul Kubert and Steve Irwin, appearing in Action Comics 598. But they are a division of the Task Force X, which is the other one of the other clandestine organizations of the DC Universe. What's great about them, they had two comic book series. The first one was pretty cool. It was more of a spy organization. The head of the – they have a king, a queen, bishops, rooks, and pawns. The pawns are the guys who are out in the field, etc. It was very cool, and they tied it all into the Suicide Squad during Ostrander's run. But – the second series is the one I'm going to recommend to you guys because this is the one that was written by Ed Brubaker, who is a master of noir. And his run on Checkmate is phenomenal. This has had some of the biggest names in comic books as members of the organization, including King Faraday, Sergeant Rock, Amanda Waller, Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern, and, of course, Arsenal, Roy Harper.
All right, I like that one. That was going to be hard to top. LT, can you top that?
I would like to mention Queen and Country. a book by Greg Rucka, Steve Rolson, Stan Sakai, and Tim Sale. It is a story of Britain's special section of Ministry Intelligence, and it is a fantastic storyline involving Britain's spy organization, where they kind of do a little of everything, a little of horse trading between other spy organizations for intelligence, sometimes doing some favors for different countries in exchange for favors for Britain. The first storyline involves them taking out a Russian general in order to ingratiate themselves on another country. And it's just a fantastic, fantastic book.
And it's only 32 issues, but it's quick. And they have one of the strongest female leads that you're going to encounter in comic books, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just great.
And fun Alex fact, it is also the favorite comic book of Rachel Maddow and Seth Meyers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
No, really. It is. I've heard them talk about it. They both love the series.
All right. All right. How about you, Josh? What do you got next?
Don't shrug off my Alex fact like it's nothing.
I just don't see a lot of corroborating evidence that Rachel Maddow has read a
fucking
ton of
prove
Checkmate.
Me. It's not
no,
Checkmate.
Queen
it's
of Country.
Queen of Country.
Queen of Country. Sorry.
You want me to get her on the podcast to prove it? I will work on that, sir.
Work
challenge
on that, sir.
Accepted.
All right, fine.
This is kind of an amalgamation character, but all throughout his career, he is part of clandestine agents. Well, not necessarily. He moves his way through some clandestine agencies. And this is John Tenson, a DEA agent, who is subject to this event called the White Event in the Marvel New Universe and becomes a hero named Justice. Now, he starts out as a DEA agent, but because he can see people's auras of good and evil, he is rolled into the NSA at one point. And then later on, there is a group that is sort of managed and monitored by the NSA called the Exiles. And he can form a psionic sword and a psychic shield. And he can see sort of very vaguely some people's emotional state and sort of auras to determine whether or not they are do-gooders or evildoers. So it's not really a specific agency, but he's always sort of made his way through clandestine services and sort of been a super detective with psionic powers. And honestly, there's not a lot of good things to say about the new universe. So when you can, you should. So Justice.
Hey, I was about to say, as far as the new universe goes, that was one of your favorites. You really liked it.
Yeah. Yes, I really did like this comic. It didn't last super long. I think it was
New Universe lasted super long.
Yeah, I don't think it was more than 40 issues, maybe 35, 40 issues, I think, for Justice. So.
Which well, was pretty no, long was no, for the universe.
Which
it was
is,
no
yeah.
Kickers, Inc.
No. But yeah, loved the guy's power profile. He was like, just a good sort of noir detective kind of guy who got some psionic powers, and it was much more grounded than a lot of the new universe, and I think they did a good job.
I liked this as myself. That was kind of a fun one. But when I think of spy agencies in comic books, one of the first two I usually go to is Danger Girl, but that might be because I like to masturbate a lot. And Danger Girl certainly leads to that. Danger Girl is a super over-the-top female exploitation comic book. I'm not saying that all the way in a bad way. These characters are drawn in a very lascivious way, and it's not terrible for that. Because, what the hell, every once in a while, looking at a beautiful woman dressed provocatively isn't all that bad. And I like Danger Girl. I just might be saying that because of how drunk I am, but I kind of like Danger Girl. The same kind of way I liked the 20-minute workout when I was 14. You guys remember that? You guys remember that, the 20-minute workout?
Yeah, Tom, we all remember you talking about the 20-minute workout when you were 14.
Yeah.
In fact, you spent a lot more than 20 minutes talking to us about the 20-minute workout.
My God, you used to talk about it for like 30 minutes a day.
Do you guys know who produced that?
I'm going to go with Lucille Ball.
No, it was actually Larry Flint. That's not a joke. Larry Flint produced that stupid TV show, the 20-minute workout. And he knew what 20 minutes we were using, and he knew what 20 minutes meant to us.
I guess that's Tom's fun Alec fact.
Yeah, fun Alec fact. I can easily masturbate.
Fun Alec fact.
No problem.
Well, I'm just going to change the subject and say, what conversation about spies wouldn't be complete without talking about Black Widow? And who? Black Widow?
Never heard of her. She doesn't have her own movie, does she?
She's a minuscule character in the Marvel Universe. And, well, she's been known to be a Russian spy, and she's also known to be doing some freelance work for a little organization known as S.H.I.E.L.D. And one of my favorite storylines was Black Widow, Volume 1, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Most Wanted, where she was kind of doing some freelance work for S.H.I.E.L.D., and she kind of got on the bad side of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was done by Mark Waid back in 2016. It was released, and it kind of goes into Black Widow's origin story in the Red Room, and she does all sorts of nasty stuff to try to prevent her origins from getting out, and some things from her past getting out into the world that she doesn't want released to the world.
If I remember correctly, wasn't that first issue just a chase scene with no dialogue?
It was mostly a chase scene. It did have some dialogue, but it was mostly a chase scene. Yeah, it's very action-packed. It's a pretty good book.
Well, I'm going to suggest people check out a different series, this one also by Ed Brubaker and his partner, Sean Phillips. That's Sleeper. And the idea behind it, there's a guy named Holden Carver, who is a supervillain, who has the ability to absorb pain and trauma and then release it by touching somebody else. And he also has the ability to regenerate. He's not really a supervillain, but an international organization sends him in deep cover into Dao, which is the supervillain spy ring of the universe. And he gets so deep into it that he starts to lose himself into it, and he's not sure who he can trust or not. It is a great, if you like noir, I'm going to recommend you check out Sleeper. It's superheroes meet spies.
I love that.
Yeah.
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 All right. Tommy, what you got next?
That's all I got.
Really? You got nothing else?
I got nothing else, Tommy.
You're played out. All right. Josh, what do you got?
I mean, can we even get through this without mentioning S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Someone's got to say S.H.I.E.L.D.
Someone's got to say S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Right. I don't have anything left. I'll have to get another drink and drink. When the Hoff plays Nick Fury, I don't think he looks half bad as Nick Fury.
I did not hate that.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, David Hasselhoff played Nick Fury way before Mr. Jackson, and it wasn't a total train wreck, as most people say. It wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great. I mean, from a budget perspective, it wasn't great. But just on a sheer visibility perspective, the Hoff had it going, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, he was trying. And, you know, we usually don't hate too often, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Hasselhoff sing the National
Anthem. It was
anthem
definitely better than the other comic book movies that were being produced at the time.
And it was better than that god-awful Captain America movie that was made about the same time.
It was better than the Punisher film that was made at the time.
Uh-oh, you might be dancing with Tom there.
The Dolph Lundgren?
Oh, the Dolph Lundgren was pretty bad. You're right. Oh, okay. Some of the later ones were okay, but that one was pretty bad. My next one is one of my favorite TV shows from all time, which I did not know at the time.
God damn it, drink.
Drink. Are you going to drink? Which I did not know was a graphic novel, which is The Middleman. Middleman is a terrific comic book and a great, great little TV show. Josh, you've watched a couple episodes, right?
I have.
And all good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not enamored with it like you guys were, but
I loved it. I was sucked in immediately, but not everyone is.
Did you see the Luchador episode?
The Luchador episode.
Did you see the super intelligent gorilla episode?
Did you?
Apparently not, or I don't recall.
Then you have not given it a chance.
That turned people into zombies.
I will go back and watch.
That turned people into zombies. For fuck's sake, Josh.
It was also a great comic book series. There's only 8 issues, so it's easy to pick up. It's by the same guy who made the television show. And the way they get away with doing a lot of stuff is because their ratings were so low that the network didn't give a shit because they knew they were going to cancel them. So he could get away with doing anything.
And they got away with, for ABC Family, they got away with some pretty crazy shit. And it was hilarious. And it was a really good episode. Natalie Morales, by the way, who's gone on to some better things, but I honestly think is really primed for some great things. Terrific actress, really funny. I can't wait to see her in more stuff than she's been in. But, I think The Middleman was a terrific, not just spy show, but show in general.
Tom, if you were waiting from someone from that show to make it, wasn't that like 15 years ago?
She's been in a lot of stuff since.
Oh, okay.
She's primed.
You just hold your breath.
I'm holding my breath. It's
going to make it big.
Any day, Natalie Morales. God
Never
damn it,
heard of her.
Make it big. She's just really talented.
Just waiting.
It's one of those things where, you see someone who's so talented and you can't believe they don't do better. Because she can do comedy. She could do drama. She could do everything. She was really funny.
She's going to be the next breakout Maggie Smith.
Yeah. It's a good point. You never know when people are going to make their big breakout, Mike. That's a totally valid point.
Very cromulent. I spent my load. Josh spent his, I think. LT, we know you spent your load. Mike, you had some honorable mentions.
Well, I'm going to go with the MI6. Let's not forget.
MI6?
That is who James Bond works for, and those comic books that have been being printed by Dynamite are excellent. But if you're going to check out one of those series, I recommend you check out the Warren Ellis run on James Bond. It is phenomenal. It is fast-paced. It is like reading an action movie. He doesn't waste a lot of time with plot. He just kind of throws, okay, this is what's going on, and shit just lands at Bond's feet. He doesn't have to think too hard about where he's going to go for the next step because there's always only just one clue to follow up on, just like a Bond movie. So it really makes me feel like I'm watching a Bond movie without all the, sex with trafficking victims.
Nice. I do have one honorable mention myself, and that would be the Kingsman series. I love the Kingsman movies. I hope you guys did too, because I thought they were phenomenal. Just so much fun. The comic books are also terrific. Golden Circle is terrific, and all the Kingsman stuff. Have you guys read the Kingsman?
No.
I have not read them yet.
I had to go back and read the Kingsman. I like the movies enough that I got some of the graphic novels, and the graphic novels really hold up really well, and I liked them. Mike, anybody else?
I think The Human Target deserves a mention as
good one, yeah.
A great spy, if we're doing that. Also, Casanova by Matt Fraction is a great series if you want to check that out. Some other good series that I'd recommend, Mind Management. That's an independent that you should consider. And let's not forget Cobra, which is a spy organization. They're not really good at being covert, but still.
I got uniforms, for God's sakes. Well, I guess I'll also mention quickly then Spy Boy. Spy Boy. Was, anyone read Spy Boy?
No.
Nope.
He was a sleeper agent who worked for Shirts. They were against the terrible agency called Skins. Get it? Shirts for Skins.
Shirts for Skins, wow.
And, but it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek take on the whole spy genre. He was a sleeper agent who didn't know he was a sleeper agent. You know how that trope goes. I thought it was kind of fun.
And spies have been in comic books forever. If you go back to the 1940s, or actually even the 1930s, there were spies all over the place. There was a big threat of the what was it? Was that the Fifth Army? Is that what it was called, Tom?
Are you talking about
the Fifth Column?
Fifth Column. The Fifth Column kind of represented a clandestine fifth kind of military that would infiltrate. And the Fifth Column was thought of as, you know, actually being in America at the time. I think this could be best exemplified by the 1940s comic book Spy Smasher.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. Spy Smasher was by Fawcett Comics. He appeared in Wiz Comics with Captain Marvel. He was incredibly popular. And as far as Fawcett goes, he's probably the most popular member of their lineup who wasn't called Marvel, right? He takes a backseat to all the Marvel family. But other than that, he's pretty much their main superhero. After World War II, he becomes the Crime Smasher. And he's kind of like a combination of, you know, Batman, if he had, and Blue Beetle, because he's got, you know, he's a detective, he's tracking down the spies, and he's got all these gadgets and stuff. It's like Bond, if Bond was also the guy, Q, at the same time.
Plus, he had a big mace. He would actually, like, smash people in the face with his mace.
And he had the gyro sub.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Nice.
So it could be an airplane, an automobile, or a submarine.
Or a gyroscope.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I don't love that last part, sure.
So for a comic strip, not quite a comic book, for all of us Mad Magazine fans, I'll go Spy vs. Spy.
White vs. Black.
And if anybody owned a Commodore 64 and you're as old as we are, that was a great video game.
That was an insanely simple and fun video game.
It was.
You basically just kill each other in different ways.
Yeah.
I like that thing.
Good.
I was wondering if we should mention Spy versus Spy, but well, I guess we should.
Yeah.
Wait, permission? I don't need your permission.
Well, when is that crossover with DC going to happen? Spy versus Spy plus The Question. Oh, sorry. God damn it. That fucking thing writes itself.
We should also give credit to Men in Black, which was a comic book before it became a movie.
Someone told me that, but I have trouble finding those old comic books. I've never come across the comic books. I've come across a couple of the collected editions, but not the comic books.
And if anybody was a fan of Fables, they had their own spy in the Fables universe, and that was Cinderella. So you could check out she had a couple comic books featuring Cinderella from the Fables tales. So if you like the idea of Cinderella being a spy and being able to infiltrate shit, she really kicks ass in Fables.
Really?
Yeah. She's awesome.
All right.
The big bad wolf, is the sheriff, and he has spies all over the place, and one of them, his best operative, is Cinderella, who goes and infiltrates a ton of different organizations.
And you got to watch out for that guy's crushing fist.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that kind of ties back to our Patreon this week, but we won't talk about that. Instead, we'll talk about what's in the front of the long box. Mikey. Sweet, beautiful Mikey. Oh, my God, I'm drunk. Mikey, do you have anything in the front of the long box?
So at the front of the long box, I have The Coldest City, written by Anthony Johnston and illustrated by Sam Hart. As the Berlin Wall is about to collapse, an undercover MI6 spy is killed while carrying some priceless information. They send a female MI6 agent into Berlin to try to track down this information and find out who the killer was. It's a spy thriller. It's good, but not great. It does a lot of trying to cover. It seems like it's trying to be too clever, and the clever plot twist at the end is something like I saw coming halfway through. So I don't know if it's just because I'm smart or if it just was because it was forecasted. So and kind of cliche. I'm going to go with it's just pretty cliche. So
I'm going to go with it's cliche.
It's by Oni Press. If you want to check it out, if you like spy novels set in the Cold War, go ahead and check it out. But it's on sale on Comixology this week. So I paid $3 for it. I wasn't upset. I paid $3 for it. If I had paid $4, I might have been upset.
My wife has always said to me that if you think it's between you being smart or it's cliche, it's cliche. But Tommy, where are you at the back of the long box?
Well, I'm not going back too far. And normally we don't like to shit on comics, but this is more of a warning to folks to stay away from this comic. I have loved every single Dynamite Battlestar Galactica series they've put out until this one. Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica. You'd think it would be great because it's written by Peter David, who usually is fantastic. But this is god-awful. The story is mediocre. It is about the original Battlestar Galactica from the late 1970s. Early 80s, being transported into this universe and meeting up with the Battlestar Galactica from the sci-fi series in 2003 on. And you think it would be great, but it was really horrible in its execution. The artist, I'm convinced, had never watched Battlestar Galactica because in some places he literally put Edward James Olmos's face on to in panels where Lauren Green's face should have gone, et cetera, and so forth, and was transposing characters back and forth. It was just like, where was the editor to prevent this stuff from happening? You know, there was also in it original Battlestar Galactica, there was also the Battlestar Pegasus, and the same thing. Commander Kane from that series was also, his face was also kind of in that mix of the Commander Adama's. The art was all over the place, and it was a huge mess in terms of the characters were inconsistent as to, like, the conversations.
So the book sucks. Don't read it.
The book was horrible in terms of that, which is really sad because Dynamite's done a great job with all the other Battlestar Galacticas.
So, in the back log box, you gave us something we shouldn't read.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, actually, that's not bad. I mean, that does tell us what to avoid.
It's a warning.
It is a warning, and I
like it. Cautionary whale.
Cautionary whale.
Cautionary whale. Attempt no landing on this Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica.
A whale versus a tail might be a little tangential. Josh, tangents are your purview. What do you got for us this week?
So, board games that retain a single set of rules but are thematically different. Do we purchase them? Star Wars Monopoly. You know, why do people – I don't understand the obsession with the thematic changes where rules don't change.
Well, all right. So we're talking about Monopoly. Instead of Park Place, it's the Death Star. Instead of Boardwalk, it's Alderaan. Fine. Yeah.
And there are some games where the rules change with the thematic. So Risk has a bunch of variants, right? Based on different worlds, but rules and the units and the cost of units change. But sometimes in certain games, it's just a thematic change. Why do we buy them?
I really like dogs.
Well, if you don't have Monopoly, maybe you'd be more inclined to buy the Star Wars one.
That's my answer, though. If I really, really like dogs and I see Dog Monopoly, maybe I'll buy Dog Monopoly. I really think that's the way they're going with that.
But let's say, have you ever seen somebody who owned Star Wars Monopoly who didn't also own Monopoly?
That's a good question, actually. I don't know that for certain. I personally right now don't own a Monopoly board, but...
Mike, do you own a thematic version of Monopoly and don't own Monopoly?
Yeah,
technically I do. I actually have Palmeropoly, which my mom gave me.
Whoa, where the fuck did Palmeropoly come from? What depths of hell?
So I own Palmeropoly and I own Star Wars Monopoly, but I do not own regular Monopoly.
Okay.
See, and I fucking hate Monopoly. So I don't even know why I have those.
I don't believe I own Monopoly, but my wife might own Star Wars Monopoly.
But if you don't like Monopoly, you don't like Star Wars Monopoly.
I agree. I don't like it.
I agree.
Mike has two things for, you know, as gifts. But, like, it just astounds me that this gets people.
Mike, I hate to ask, but can I have your Star Wars Monopoly? I mean, I like Monopoly. I don't have a Monopoly set, and I like Star Wars.
No, it was a present, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's not re-gifting it to you. He's like, great, he'll send it to you this week.
Whoever gave it to me might be listening.
His wife definitely doesn't want that out of their closet.
Look, Matt, Tom, you should remind me this week, because if it's in my house, I will definitely give it to you before my wife comes home from Benzig.
Goddamn right, give it to me.
Luckily, she doesn't listen to this podcast, so you can give away her shit.
She never listens to this podcast.
That'll teach her.
And she's always telling me to get rid of shit.
So there's no one here who does actually do that, though, right? Like, owns the base game but still buys thematic versions because...
Well, Mike did.
Mike has presents from other people. Well, people gave them to him as gifts. That's not Mike's. It's not
Mike, you don't have any others?
I own a lot of the different versions of Munchkin, but...
That's
those
different.
Are different games.
That's different. They're all
slightly different.
Yeah. Those are added tools.
I have the Simpsons life game, but I don't have a regular life game.
Actually, the Munchkin is kind of the same.
Shut up, you're drunk.
Some of them have different add-ons.
Yeah, I know, but the basics of the game is the same.
Right, but like the Munchkin Cthulhu has different added rules that aren't in some of the other ones.
Not many.
Anyway.
Yeah. Just a few.
Yeah.
I'm so drunk.
Yeah, you are sliding off the couch here, my friend.
I am. I'm sorry.
Let's wrap it up and go to plugs.
Let's wrap it up and we're going to plugs. My local comic shop is awesome. This is too late for you guys to buy a ticket to Epic Nerd Camp because, you know, you're too late. You should have listened to me all spring and summer. And you just should have gone, but you didn't, and now it's too late.
I really wanted to go. I'm sorry.
It's too late.
Too late. I'm so sorry.
You're not sorry. Mike, what do you got?
I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle and this water because I'm losing my voice.
To thank the big dick I sucked earlier. LT, what do you got to plug, buddy?
Try not to use your husky voice like Mike. It's getting disturbing out here.
Sorry.
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
We're just doing sound effects now. Let's wrap
up. LT, why would you like to thank GeekOrthodox.com?
GeekOrthodox.com for fair of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, including stained glass prints.
Josh, you already did yours.
This is my sector.
This is like drug history, but for comics.
Yeah.
Tommy...
This is a podcast no one deserves right now because Tom is way too drunk.
I'm holding it together, but don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just Just promote what you love. You live a lot longer. Thank you from the Long Box, guys. And we legitimately love you guys.
We love you so much. Please give.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter at the Long Box Guys. Patreon at the Long Box Guys. Facebook, the Long Box Guys. Find us. Please.
Please.
Before Tom does something rash.
I hope you've got a healthcare plan. And if you don't, I understand. But I got a question for ya. Does your hideout have a covered lot? And here's the hours I'm looking for. A part-time shift from noon to four. But not on Tuesdays, cause that's when I dungeon master for my friends. Do I qualify for this? Well, let me tell you what you've missed. A fired lasers from a sub. 1 year I blew a whole bridge up. I spent a month up on the moon, raising rank beyond a goon. I could have gone much higher, except for the fact my boss was burned alive.
Good podcast. Really all strong right. Ending.
Yeah.
Shut up.